and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that also the show can be re-aired if you miss part of it, or you're in your car and you have to get out, or whatever it is, by going to the NAGB's website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the Learn menu and scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can see all of the archive shows and listen to shows again if you missed them. While you're there, I also encourage you to go look at the calendar, because we have a calendar that is chock full of activities. And, you know, sometimes people say, oh, yeah, I was there 2 years ago. Do I need to come back? We have 16 shows a year. So, yes, you need to come back minimum 10 times a year. It's free on Sundays. So there is no excuse to not come. There's no entry fee on Sundays at all. Most of our talks and movies that we screen are free. When we do workshops and there's materials involved, there is sometimes a small fee, which is cheaper, by the way, if you're a member. So become a member of the NAGB too. That would be awesome. Then you can bring all of your endless family members not on the Sunday and still not pay for them. So anyhow, there's lots doing at the NAGB. So check out the website and see what's happening. We are here talking about UB and NAGB, all these acronyms, right? Mm-hmm. University of the Bahamas and the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. We're here with Walteria Tucker-Roll, the Chair of Communication and Creative Arts, and Keisha Oliver and Heino Schmidt, who are both assistant professors in the Visual Art Department. So before the break, I was saying, you know, we're going to try through this MOU, this Memo of Understanding, to continue to further solidify this pre-existing relationship, one of which is that we've had this steady stream for the last, so as long as I've been there, and I'm sure from before I was there, of UB students coming and basically spending a whole bunch of time at the NAGB, working for us in many cases, and hopefully now we're going to be able to figure out a way that we can actually give credits for that relationship, so that the students are really getting something that furthers their education. I mean, they're learning so much from us, but it has never been kind of officially acknowledged, you know, that they are really learning something of value. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the students that you know that have come out of the program and what it's meant to them, or the unofficial program? I mean, I know we just, during the break, we were just throwing out names. Mm-hmm. Most recently, Matthew Raming, mm-hmm. but like Javon Thompson, Imani Hepburn. Back in the day, Veronica Dorsett, Christina Darville, your brother, Stephen Schmidt,
yeah.
You know, who all just used to show up and, like, help us do things, like install work. So what do you think it is that they're getting that allows them to sort of go out into the world and do better than maybe another person might through this experience they've had?
Well, I think a lot of it is just getting practical experience. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, like, as a student, that's actually really difficult to get. And I think, like, with the proximity of the National Art Gallery to UB or NCOB for some of the students that you mentioned, it just seemed like it made a lot of sense for people to kind of come in and leave and come back to the university or the college at the time for some, and have that practical experience. Because, again, like I said earlier, there is a real difference between the classroom environment and trying to apply what you're doing in the classroom in the real world. And I mm-hmm. found that the NAGB allowed for a lot of that. It was odd sometimes. Like, sometimes I would have students be like, listen, I'm doing an internship. I'm going to have to miss, like 2 weeks of class, and I'm like, all right, and I have to, like, think about, like well, you still
Sorry.
Have to do some of the work, so mm-hmm. let's talk about it. But I would never say no. I mean I'm sure if Edwards is listening, or like Keisha, if you want to jump in, like, I would never say no, because that practical experience is sometimes mm-hmm. more helpful than like the minutia of the classroom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like there's a filtering process that goes on, like, in the real world, and you're like, all right, this is important. This is how I apply it. I can build on this. That you cannot do. Again, if you could scream yourself purple in the face, mm-hmm. but you can't do it in the classroom. It has to come from, like, a real world experience. So I'm happy. I'm ecstatic that you can, you know, that we're in a position where we can solidify the MOU to actually allow for you know, the circles to overlap a bit, mm-hmm. and whatever that space is in between to be a little bit more practical.
Yeah, and people
and
with
beneficial.
MAs at NAGB will be able to become adjunct professors, so that we're, like, legitimately
that's also amazing,
you know, yeah. teaching. It's not, it's just sort of this sort of, you know, organic, mm-hmm. you know, we're not just writing them a recommendation letter, that really yeah. it can be a serious.
Yeah.
Have you, I mean, I remember when I was a student, I had a professor tell me. I was trying to decide whether to do my year off between my A-levels, that's how old I am, and going to university. And my professor said, I can tell the difference on the first day of class who's had the year off and who hasn't in terms of their level of maturity. Do you see a difference in the students that have spent time doing, not just at the NAGB, but going and doing like practical things outside? Do you feel that when they come back that they have...
Yeah, I think there's a certain level of confidence that comes with working offsite in an internship, be it at the NAGB, be it at another institution like Bahama. We had some students go there as well. But I think it does sometimes present challenges that you're faced with that I am hoping that this MOU will help to resolve. You know, when you have a structure in place, like a certification, for example, in a certain program or making a part of the curriculum, you kind of set this precedent so the student is very knowledgeable that this is a partnership, that this is two institutions pairing together to help mold you into the individual that you should be coming. But then what happens is you have, at times, the students become a little bit overzealous and too confident, and it becomes a conflict.
Okay.
And so when you do have it written within the curriculum, you're able to guide them and mentor them as a professor, as an employee of the National Art Gallery or co-professors, and really help to direct them. Because I think oftentimes, because we're still dealing with students that are at the associate's level, they need a lot of guidance.
Yes.
They need a lot of guidance. So yes, the maturity is there definitely. And you do see those, particularly from the National Art Gallery. And because of that space, they always express more of an interest in curatorial practice or arts administration. And so we're speaking about like a Matthew Ramming, a Christina Wong, Judy Minnis, Avria Wright,
students who've
actually not only just interned with you, but then advanced into actually working with you officially. Yeah. And so I think it's...
like Blake Fox, who now is our assistant education officer. And he was... Yeah, he even had a show at the NAGB a couple of years ago. Yep, you installed the show.
Yeah, that was as part of your class.
And I have to say, I hope he's listening, or maybe not, because I don't embarrass him, but he is amazing. But also like on an administrative level as well. And I think sometimes there's this sort of fallacy that art people can't be organized, or art people can't do numbers, or art people... And it's just so not true.
Can, but they don't know.
And they don't know, or that if you have, that there has to be a kind of choice between a creative outlet and an intellectual outlet. I once, I have to be very careful what I say. Anyway, I was at a school listening to someone talking about a program, and they said something about the math program. And they were like, well, we have math for the rocket scientists, and we have math for the scientists, and we have regular math for normal people, and then we have math for the artists. And I got like really upset. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm running a national institution, and I'm come out of an art program, so I know calculus and I can manage a budget. So there's a sort of, you know, this idea, and I think again what I hope to see at the MOU is this ability to reach across, because I know when young adults are choosing their classes, sometimes they'll be, if they're very smart, they'll be guided to something different. They'll be guided to maybe journalism because the parents see a solid job there, but maybe we can marry the journalism with the art. If they have that creative bend, or science, like I spoke about, science with art, and find these all these different jobs outside of the 10 we always say, be a doctor, be a lawyer, you know, run a hotel, you know, whatever. Like, there's all these different things.
Every single person that we hope to produce, and I know that I speak for all of the people in my unit when I say this, and our unit in communication and creative arts, we have visual and performing arts, which includes music and visual arts. We have journalism and communications, and we have foreign languages, and they're all considered the creative arm, right, of the humanities. But if we just think broadly about what the liberal and fine arts are about, or the liberal arts and sciences are about, you're talking about developing the human being so that you increase their capacity to express sort of all the colors, right, that we bring. I mean, I know that sounds kind of cliche, but it's not separate. You have, you know, just an artist who's super, 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 super creative, super photos. And look at, for instance, like Akeisha Oliver. Keisha's a graphic designer, but she is also the coordinator, which you failed to mention. She's the coordinator of our art
program.
She's
Erica James, right?
You're talking about
the first director of the National Art Gallery, who was a really talented artist, but was also amazing talent at writing and administrating. And
they are not separate. And we hope to break that down. We want to push interdisciplinarity as a way of life, as a praxis, if you want to use that word, because in the real world, you don't need these skills separately, mm-hmm. right? They come together. And especially when it comes down to what you're talking about, museum studies and curatorial studies and things like that, people are going to have to know widely about many themes in order to be able to organize and curate and all of these things.
Yeah.
And to promote what's happening at an institution to a public who may not necessarily have sort of its tastes defined or refined enough to really appreciate art. So we want to... We want to just break down that whole idea that they have to be separate.
Yeah, and in that intersectionality, sometimes you really find a niche where I got my start, or I made a very good living before I sort of grew into the different things, is that you mentioned languages. I was one of the few English language translators. You know how many art magazines there are in, like, Spanish and French, and I was able to actually translate a lot of work because I speak several languages.
Yeah.
And I made catalogs get museums doing shows. They want to have most museums around the world will have trilingual labels. Right. If wherever you are, it'll be in English. If you speak English, mm-hmm. you have got such an advantage mm-hmm. because every place in the world wants to have English labels as well as having whatever other language that they speak.
And at UB, we want people we actually have dual degree and double major mm-hmm. policies in place now since 2016, since mm-hmm. we chartered. We have these new policies that allow mm-hmm. people to do stuff that they never were able to do before. Mm-hmm. And we want, for however that student comes in and whatever is in them, we want to be able to develop that. And so what we realize, we are being honest as an institution, this is not something that we could provide readily, but we have to reach out to partners like NAGB and other institutions. Keisha was instrumental in helping us to sign an MOU with the Edna Manley College for the Visual and Performing Arts, the premier visual and performing arts institution of the region, so that we can, in the interim, as we're developing our programs and sort of growing this creative public, right, that we can have opportunities there. Because most of what people, the reason why people don't come, to seek out an art program or another creative field is because they're not aware of the opportunities, the real opportunities that exist. And so this agreement will allow you to promote sort of that possibility. I mean, we're helping you in that way, letting everybody know that NAGB is partnering with institutions like UB. And UB is also saying, look,
win-win.
We're dedicated
to this. Win-win for us because, again, we get the status of being officially associated with UB, which I think is a nice status to have, but also it just brings in more. I mean, again, we just want to reach more people. Yeah. We want to share
national
the culture with more people. We want young people, exactly.
Yeah.
We want, just more bodies through the door, more Bahamians coming to be proud of what their country produces. I mean, I don't think I've ever known a person to leave the National Art Gallery and be like, well, that was a waste of my time. Mm-mm. You leave that place as a visitor, but specifically as a Bahamian, feeling like, wow, man. Mm. That, just... And I think that changes people.
Yeah,
so the more students, the better.
I wanted to mention one thing, and I don't know if this is something that you intended to do in the future with other professors, but I know Amanda and Walter, you could really speak to it. I know, maybe it's about other disciplines and how
Definitely.
They are really integrated and how they will benefit from this MOU because, like I said, organic relationships. You've had professors in the English Studies program, mm-hmm. Social Sciences. So you've had a Craig Smith, mm-hmm. Ian Bethel Bennett, mm-hmm. Nicolette mm-hmm. Bethel. Mm-hmm. They've all really benefited from having those relationships to exhibiting, to hosting performances.
But even more, I think, again, we've only got 2 minutes left from the segment because the time flies.
But it
does. Think we can just definitely talk more about that after the break, because that's what I always say too, is that I'm just not, everyone's like, oh, the MOU, go talk to the art professors. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to talk to the art professors. Mm-hmm. I talk to them all the time anyhow. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to the history professors and the English professors and the sociology professors and the people that aren't yet coming as a sort of natural extension mm-hmm. of their program
exactly.
to figure out. And I think that speaks to what you were talking about, Walter, which mm-hmm. is about this kind of interconnectivity mm-hmm. or this cross
interdisciplinary.
There you go. Interdisciplinary. Yeah. So I think, we can definitely touch on that more after the break because we have now got to go to one. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and I'm here with a whole bunch of people from UB, and we will be back speaking about our memo of understanding and all the exciting stuff, and oh my gosh, the summer intensive. We have to talk about that too after the break. So stay tuned. You're listening to 96.9, and we will be right back after this break.